A reading from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Thus says the Lord, rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you. A just savior is he, meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion will reach, shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My King and my God.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
I will extol you, O my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and holy in all his works. The Lord lifts up all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Bless Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord. I have a question for you. What are you yoked to? What are you yoked to? For you grammar purists, to what are you yoked? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus said. It's quoted by him, I mean, it's quoted of him very often. We hear it a lot. But do we ever stop to try and figure out what it really means? What does being yoked to Jesus mean? In Jesus' day, a yoke, and this is a Y-O-K-E yoke, not a Y-O-L-K, not the inside of an egg, okay? This was a farm implement. In Jesus' day, it was quite common to see. It was a means of harnessing the power of beasts of burden. It was a big, long, you know, wooden thing that went across them. It was used all the way up until very modern times, actually. It wasn't until motorized farm implements came into being that it started to drop out of use. But everyone would have recognized what Jesus was talking about. This was normally made out of wood. It was normally hand-carved. It went over the shoulders of an animal, or sometimes a group of animals, and enabled their owner to do some important work, maybe pull a wagon, pull a plow, walk in a circle and turn a grinding wheel, or maybe operate a pump for water. A good yoke was custom fitted for the animal so that they could wear it easily, so that they wouldn't strain against it, so that it wouldn't hurt them while they were doing their work. They could work easily and for a long time without wearing out. So when Jesus asks us to take his yoke upon ourselves, he's asking us to be his workers. He promises us that his yoke will be easy and that we will be able to easily do the work he asks of us. Now in Matthew's gospel, the work that Jesus asks of us is given at the end of the gospel. It's called the Great Commission. Right before he goes up for his ascension, he says, go out, make disciples of all the world, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In other words, spread God's word. Spread the good news of Jesus. And Jesus tells us he's meek and humble of heart, just like the ruler, the king that's described in the first reading. He's not a hard taskmaster. Okay? He's not a tyrant. He's not going to beat you down for not doing his will. He's gentle. He guides you easily. It's a big contrast to what he describes as those laboring under a heavy burden. By that, he means the burden of the Old Testament law of Moses. Now, throughout all of Matthew's gospel, Matthew sets Jesus up to be the new Moses, the new lawgiver. And the new law Jesus gives is easier to follow than the one Moses gave. By Jesus' day, everyone pretty much agreed it was almost impossible to follow, especially so, as Jesus points out, with all the extra requirements and burdens that were added by the scribes and the ones that he calls wise and learned, who did not truly grasp the mysteries of God, mysteries which Jesus now reveals to the little ones. That's us. That's everyday people like you and me. The mystery that he reveals to us is the mystery of the Holy Trinity, that God is a God of love, not to be confused with a love God, a fertility God, which gave the Old Testament Jews just the hardest time because they were always popping up here and there, but a God of love, a love that is so deep within the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, within the Trinity, a love so deep and so immense it has room for us, and it stands as an example of us for us to follow, who were made in his image. This loving God bestows on us his mercy. He lifts us up when we're down. He forgives us when we truly repent and ask for his forgiveness. This love from God is why Jesus calls us to love God in return with all our heart, which really should be an easy task. He calls us to love our neighbor as ourself, which is an easy task if we give ourselves willingly to God's grace and guidance, and if we put on the yoke of Christ, a yoke custom fitted to us by Christ, taking in account our personality, our gifts, our talents, what we can do, what we can't do. But what are the other yokes in the world that we could choose instead? We could reject Christ's yoke and put on the yoke of sin, the yoke of hatred, the yoke of unforgiveness, the yoke of selfishness. These yokes will be burdensome. They will be heavy. And we will not be happy under them. When we yoke ourselves to sin, we're never happy, except perhaps for a brief, fleeting moment before the full ugliness of our sin becomes revealed to us. When we yoke ourselves to hatred, to prejudice, we can never be happy, because hatred is the opposite of love, the love that God is. And it will burn us up. It will consume us in the fire of its blinding heat. When we yoke ourselves to selfishness, we can never be happy, because we were created for community, just like the community of the Trinity. No one who lives selfishly can live in community, so wrapped up in their own cares and desires that the world they live in is too small to include happiness. When we yoke ourselves to unforgiveness, we can never be happy, because each unforgiven offense against us piles one upon the other until the weight becomes so unbearable that we cannot pull with the yoke at all. So let us therefore be resolved to take up the yoke of Jesus and place it willingly on our shoulders, to be his beasts of burden, carrying out his commands of love of God and love of neighbor, so that his work, which he has handed on to us, his work of evangelizing all the world, may come to fruition. Today, when we come to receive our Lord, body and blood, soul and divinity, let's ask him of our own free will to place his yoke on us and guide us by it to do his work for his kingdom. The yoke that we choose will either weigh us down or free us to do the work that God created us for, to live a life of love. God love you.